Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
We love you too, John Harbaugh. Head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, news from the nest. Steve Bisciotti, John Harbaugh met with the Ravens, Ravens.com, Ravens Media, that is. John Harbaugh got himself a big old fancy contract extension, as we talked about yesterday. Most are cool with it, some not so much. But here's the owner of the ball club, Steve Bisciotti, talking about his working relationship with his longtime coach.
I think I don't come out of left field very often. To him, when I'm giving him advice, I think that we like have our lanes, and I know what he's going through because he's the face of the franchise, and he's going through these decisions. He's being questioned and criticized and everything else, and so I take it seriously. It makes me mad when he's unduly criticized. If he's criticized and I agree with it, I kind of have to work my way into telling you that I agree with the criticism.
And you're good at it. You do a good job of it.
Yeah, you know, it's like a sharp knife, not a butter knife.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just I love feeling like at the end of the day that I contributed to his north.
I kind of like how what you hear him say, because I mean it's pretty normal that owners are going to jump their head coach's ass.
But is it advice in regards to how he deals with the media? I mean, dealing with the criticism. I mean, the game plan. I guess, Vinny, you know, working for Disco Dan Snyder, there's that fine line between, he just said, staying in lanes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm guessing after a loss, it's hard to stay in that lane. I mean, because we've heard, Preston has told us that you look over in Bisciotti's box after that light's on and Harbs is up in there, you know, when they're up writing and stuff. So I'm sure after a loss, it's probably much more difficult, and probably for Steve, too, to stay in his lane, because he's sitting in his box listening to his friends, I'm sure, bitch and complain, and and
got some cold brewskis flowing.
No doubt. So I'm sure that, you know, if Harbs didn't use a timeout or whatever, I'm guessing that Bisciotti knows how to ask him probably in a nicer way than just going at, like, what were you doing, John? You know, John, what were you thinking? You know, probably more like that. You know, and then just let him explain. So, I mean, they've known each other now for, 17 years?
2008, you got hired.
So, I mean, they know each other very well. The ins, outs, how each one's going to handle certain situations. And I'm sure, you know, Steve Bisciotti is going to, like Bob, with the McCary situation. You guys going to play your best five?
Sure.
You know, I mean, that's what he, hey, you need to think about playing your best five.
And everything there kind of took care of itself after an injury, however, to Voorhees. Or Voorhees opened the door. Now, draft, we've been talking about it. We got another profile coming up in the, about a half hour or so. Wide receiver. Talking about that going to Arizona. But here's Steve Bisciotti explaining why the draft excites him as the owner.
We had more free agents than we had money available to spend. And that happens every year. But we weren't really looking outside the organization. And then we were psyched to get Ricard and psyched to get Ronnie and psyched to get Tylan. And psyched. It's like, but we had let a lot of them go. And that's never a good thing. But you know going in, you're going to have more free agents that you want than you have money to spend on, right? So I tell people that's my money. That's our money. But the draft is already in Eric's budget. So I say the draft is like going Christmas shopping with somebody else's credit card. That's how exciting it is because they're all free.
It's like a gift card from Odyssey at the end of
it. And that's what we always talk about is you got to have cheap labor because those guys are extremely inexpensive. And when you go spend, when you have star players, which the Ravens do, and you're paying them all high dollar, you need cheap labor. And, you know, like Steve was talking about, I mean, a great offseason for the Ravens this past year, Bob, was to get Stanley and Ricard back. They got them back. Hey, that's an A for the Ravens in the offseason because that's what they needed. And now, you know, I mean, I think Ozzie has kind of trained Steve Bisciotti from way back when about the importance of draft picks, and he is bought in to the philosophy and everything. And with the way of the Ravens, and like I just said, with the way that they have elite players and elite contracts, having the free money is big for them.
It's 58 Haiti 105.7 The Fan. Hear more from Steve Bisciotti when we get to NFL Lunch. Coming up at 1 o'clock. When we come back, however, buy or sell. Let's count some dough. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, Ravens Wire Talk, Ravens with him. Matt Weirich is out in Arizona with the Orioles. The Birds win last night, 5-1. Ryan O'Hearn goes deep. Ryan Mountcastle, great at bat. Two ribbies come in there. Zach Eflin goes 6 strong, but leaves with shoulder fatigue. What the hell's going on there? And an American League East report coming up at 1:15 as well. Both ESPN and Sporting News have done their way too early. Top 25 for men's basketball. Spoiler alert, Maryland.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus, tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. no limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Saraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In it.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Finney and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Finney and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Turning Up Tuesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, Ravens Wire. Joining us bottom of the hour, we're going out to Arizona with Matt Wyrick from the Baltimore Sun. Talk about the Birds, Orioles, the original Birds. Orioles win last night, 5-1, but what's up with Zach Eflin? Hopefully we get some intel there, but right now let's count some dough before we get to the sports topics. Buy or sell?
Yeah, the Dow's up 739. The S&P's up 89. NASDAQ's up 287. DraftKings down 7 cents. And Under Armour is down 0.1.
So where are they sitting right now?
$4.93.
Jeez Louise. No. It's not even a sock, much less a pair of socks.
One sock.
You get a sock.
Let's see. We'll start our sports topics here with the Orioles. That bullpen, we just got done talking about it a little while earlier. Brian Baker. Well, he wasn't really on anyone's radar earlier this spring, but then Andrew Kittredge got hurt. Now he's back in the mix. 3 years ago, an essential part of the Orioles bullpen, sub-3.5 ERA, career high in innings, nearly reaching 70 innings pitched that year. But since then, really a steady decline. And last year, bottoming out only 23 innings at the major league level in ERA at 5. Now, as long as he keeps pitching the way he has so far this season, small sample size, he'll stick around. Other injuries could play a factor as well, but buy or sell, Bob, Baker will remain in the Orioles' pen from start to finish this season. No performance-based demotions.
I'm going to buy it. Now, if he bottoms out and has like a 12 earned run average in a month, then it might put him in a precarious situation. But Suarez out for 2 months at least. Kittredge, who knows when he's coming back. I mean, the opportunities are going to be there for him to achieve success. Now you'd like the rotation, stating the obvious, to get a little deeper in the game so you don't overwork the pen. But Brian Baker's always had premier stuff, throws high 90s. Now we're seeing him look like you said, Nolan, like he did back in 2022.
Go over to the NFL here. Defenses today built around the pass rush. Occasionally you build around a corner, but maybe only if they're truly locked down. For the most part, it's about getting after the quarterback. So with that in mind, Bucky Brooks has ranked the top 10 defenders right now to build a defense around. Micah Parsons is his number one pick. Some of the other recognizable names towards the top, you know, Myles Garrett, Nick Bosa, TJ Watt, a lot of those pass rush names. But coming in at number 8 is Roquan Smith. And Brooks here says, quote, off-ball linebackers are rarely viewed as essential pieces to a championship puzzle, but Roquan Smith is a unicorn. He also notes here Smith's leadership ability being the loudest singular voice on that defense. Vinny, are you buying or selling that placement for Roquan here?
At the beginning of the year last year, I'd say no. You know, I thought he played better as the season went along. I think he needs to come in great shape. But, you know, all the other things that you say about him, leadership and all, because he didn't play well against the pass last year. This past season. So if he gets back to his normal game, because he's only, what, 26? Then I would say yes. But last year, I would say no.
Over to the NBA, Jamal Murray has missed the Nuggets' past 5 games with a hamstring injury. Now his status for the playoffs kind of in doubt. Michael Malone, the coach there, went from using a day-to-day designation when talking about Murray to now just saying we're hopeful he can suit up at some point before Sunday's finale. The last time he missed the playoff run was 2022. That ACL tear held him out the entire year. Denver got bounced by Golden State in the first round. No one was there to support Jokic with his pretty good series for him, averaged over 30 a game, but nobody else came close, no support at all. Buy or sell, Bob, without Murray this year, the Nuggets will suffer a similar fate, first round exit.
I'm going to sell first round, but I'll buy they won't win the title. I mean, the Joker had a monster triple-double the other night, and they lost. And Murray, remember, really burst onto the scene. I mean, you follow college hoops, you know he was good at Kentucky. In the bubble. He went off in the bubble. The booble. But you look at that, and we alluded to it a little bit during the whip. Denver right now is the fourth seed. They're a game and a half behind the Lakers at 47-32. Clippers, Warriors, T-Wolves, Grizzlies, all 46-32. And whoever loses out on that, they're in the play-in tournament. So there's a lot at stake here. Denver, as you said, they've lost four in a row. Clippers are trending up. But long-winded way to answer your question. Without Murray, they're not cutting down nets. No.
Go back to the NFL here. Breece Hall, Jets running back, past few years been their go-to guy. Even managed to rebound quickly from that rookie injury he suffered. However, New York's new regime, well, they want to lighten the load a little bit. Aaron Glenn calling for a running back committee with some other names here. Braylon Allen, Isaiah Davis, not really recognizable names. I guess that should tell you everything. But for Hall in particular, pretty heavy workload the last 2 years. 432 total carries, throw in 133 receptions to go along with it. What makes this interesting, though, is Breece Hall is entering a contract year, so he would certainly like to get as many touches as possible, try to post some career highs, and get a nice payday. But buy or sell, Vinny, the Jets' running back plans here, or at least what Glenn is saying, is not realistic. Breece Hall will carry a similar workload that he has the last 2 years.
I'm gonna end up buying that just because he's gonna have to carry it because they're gonna need him to carry it. And Nolan, I'll bet you if you went back and looked at all his carries at Iowa State, he had a ton there too. So he's had a lot of carries. So having a guy come in might be beneficial to him also for him to get a better payday.
And our last topic of the day here in Major League Baseball, Vlad Guerrero Jr., he was projected to be the biggest free agent name on the market this coming winter, but after signing his extension with Toronto, now shakes up the market and the player pool. So maybe Kyle Tucker now becomes the most coveted position player that'll be available. Houston seemingly thought that he was out of their price range when they traded him, but what is his true value? Is he in that $400, $500 million range like a Vlad Guerrero Jr. was? Buy or sell, Bob, Vlad getting his deal done midseason will actually raise Tucker's price even more than it would have already been.
I'll buy it. I don't think he gets a half a billion dollars like Vlad got. But remember, before he got hurt last year with Houston, he was like in the Ohtani conversation as MVP in the National League. If he carries the Cubbies to greatness, certainly improves his stock. But yeah, it only goes up because people who are hitting free agency are like, okay, we got this done. 14 years though. I don't see anybody signing a 14-year deal, but that half a bill, when you say half a bill, it could be for a half a billion years. I think I'm in. But to answer your question, I'm buying it. Tucker's value just went up. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. How about Kevin Allstriker? Lamar Jackson's value high. Where's Derrick Henry's value right now based on others that have signed this offseason? And, of course, talk about the draft. Vinny's second profile of the day. We're staying with wide receiver going out to Arizona. Going to hear more from the Biscuit coming up at 1 o'clock. NFL lunch. American League East report, 1:15. Oh, my God, the Yankees have lost two in a row. Stop the season. And then we'll talk to Matt Weirich live from Arizona as the Orioles get ready for game two against the Diamondbacks. They win the opener 5-1. Question is, will Zach Eflin make his next start? From USA Today, it's the Ravens Wires on the Window Nation guest hotline. Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, how far removed are you from being 18 years old?
It's been a little while. But now, you know what? For the Ravens, it's a fun time to get into the draft action. You're right. Just a couple weeks away from the draft, it always feels like it sneaks up on you, which is exciting.
We had Eric Edholm on yesterday, Kevin, a respected NFL writer. Of course, you know him from NFL.com, Yahoo before that. And, you know, do the mock drafts, and I guess you think outside the box. He had the Ravens taking the offensive tackle from Ohio State at 27, you know, more of a futures pick. Are the Ravens at this stage where it's kind of Super Bowl or bust, Are they, Simmons is the kid's name. Are they in a position to take a futures pick, or do they need someone that's going to be ready to rock and roll week one against whoever it is?
I mean, technically they could. They could also kick him into guard if they really wanted to. I know right now the projected guards are Andrew Voorhees and Daniel Falele, but if I'm being honest, I wouldn't do that if I were the Ravens. I feel like it would feel bad if, let's just say, he is on the bench for the year this upcoming season. I feel like right now you need your assets to work for you, your first round pick to work for you. And to me, if you have an offensive lineman, and Josh Simmons is a great player, like, I think that he's going to be a really good tackle. I know the injury is going to push him down draft boards a little bit that he suffered last season, but I think that the Ravens have enough other areas where they could take a guy like an edge, corner, safety, D-line, those positions where the Ravens are a BPA team, and if they feel like Simmons is the best player on their board, they will take him, and that's just how it's going to be. But, it's almost like the conversation, I think we had the same kind of thing last year where the Ravens did have Ronnie Stanley and they had a couple of other spots on their line to fill, but the conversation was, if an offensive lineman was there but he was going to sit on the bench, was it going to be worth it? And my answer then was no, and I still think it's no, because you have a window, and if the Ravens hadn't re-signed Ronnie Stanley and they were looking for an offensive tackle, it would be a different conversation. But I think that there are enough players in this draft and enough needs that Baltimore has to say that, yeah, it'd be a fine pick, but one that you might have to kick him into guard to play him to get the most value in year one. Then maybe if Stanley leaves or, retires or whatever, you can kick him back out to tackle. But I definitely would rather have the Nate Wiggins type impact. Hopefully you can get that out of your pick this year too.
If you were to rank 1, 2, and 3, their needs going into 16 days from now, what do you think 1, 2, and 3?
I think edge is probably number one for me, just because of the fact that, yes, you have Adafe Owe and Kyle Van Noy, but again, Owe has, he has very high highs and very low lows, it feels like. I think for Van Noy also, you don't want to necessarily rely on him in a big, big, big role this year where, yes, obviously put him on the field. He's still very effective and has been for the past 2 years with the Ravens. But, outside of that, it's Tavius Robinson, who I do expect to have a big year, especially in run defense. But again, you don't want to have to rely on him. David Ajabo and Aziza Isaac is your other guys. I think that, drafting a guy, if a player falls due, I know James Pierce is a popular name, although I know the Ravens, they will have to determine whether the character and all that is going to be a yes or a no for them. But there are a couple of options. Number two, I would probably say it's close. I might say safety right now just because Ardarius isn't back, although I do expect Ardarius and the Ravens to work something out. But yes, you have Kyle Hamilton. There are a couple of safeties, though, in the first round that do intrigue me, like Nicky Minwori, who I know a lot of people are coining, oh, he's a more athletic Kyle Hamilton. These teams want a Kyle Hamilton, go get Minwori. You have guys like Malachi Starks or even Xavier Watts in the second round. And then, honestly, an underrated need for me, I know people aren't talking about it as much, but I think defensive line on the interior is a need for them. Michael Pierce retired, Brent Urban a free agent. Broderick Washington hasn't given you a lot since his contract extension. You'd have a couple of good players there, Metabike and Jones, but this is a very deep defensive line class. I wouldn't be shocked if Baltimore came out of it with two defensive tackles.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's defense myself. And, is that what you're expecting when we go to Liar's Luncheon next Tuesday, to what kind of Eric leads that way?
Yeah, I think that'll probably be the message, although, you don't know, maybe he'll throw up those smoke screens. We know that that's always a thing at the Liar's Luncheon. But I think that for Baltimore, on the offensive side of the ball, you're pretty set. I mean, obviously quarterback, there's not a question there, especially with Cooper Rush. You don't need a backup anymore. Running back, yeah, you could take a guy, but you already have four on your roster that you need to work in. So does that mean you keep four again and Rasheen Ali just gets cut? Wide receiver, I could see them taking a later round guy. You have five right now on your roster that you can work with. Tight end, I could maybe see a later round player, because obviously all three of those tight ends are in the final year of their deal. And then offensive line, it's probably the one I would say on offense gets taken the earliest out of those positions. But you really do just need to stack up on the defensive side of the ball here, because that is where your needs lie. I just don't think you have, you don't have the needs on offense right now. I think defense is where you look. And this is a very
And it's interesting because I mentioned if the defensive line class is super deep this year, the corner class isn't necessarily regarded as great. You have a couple of great safeties, like I mentioned. And then, you know, edge has some guys, you know, it's not the deepest edge class I've ever seen. And then obviously the Ravens are even making waves by bringing in inside linebackers, where obviously Trent Simpson didn't have the greatest year last season. The Ravens, hopefully, you know, in their eyes, he can step up this year, but you know, I don't blame him if they don't trust him in a big role. And obviously, you know, they're talking about, oh, we're excited to see what he can do on first and second down. So that obviously says something. I think that they're going to draft an inside linebacker at some point. So, yeah, I expect Derek DaCosta to, you know, give us some insight into what the Ravens are doing. But obviously, he's not going to give away his whole battle plans here leading up to the draft.
Now, Kevin, I could see, like, when you look at mock drafts and stuff, there's a lot of guys, like the safeties keep dropping and, you know, some of the pass rushers are dropping because of character. I mean, guys drop in the draft because of, you know, character or medical, you know. And, you know, it's going to be interesting because I could see a scenario where Eric trades back.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. And I know that that's, you know, among some, it's not popular because of how many picks they already have. I mean, I'm not sure they can fit 11 draft picks on their roster at this point. I mean, it's possible.
Well, you got the practice squad and stuff, too.
Yeah, and that's true. Where I think even we know that Derek DaCosta, with Ozzie Newsome was a little different, where it seems like it was very rare that they would cut a draft pick. He would always give him a year or two on the roster before making that decision. Eric DaCosta is not afraid to cut a guy if it's not working out or put him on the practice squad. And I think we're seeing that more across the league where, you know, you draft a guy in the seventh round, you cut him, you get him back on the practice squad, and that's that. So that's where maybe the tight end pick I was talking about, maybe that guy gets put on the practice squad. But again, you get, and honestly, you know, seventh round picks are making a lot less than, you know, those high priority undrafted free agents. So teams like to trade back into the draft, get the contract and see what happens. But, you know, trading back, if the Ravens end this draft with 12, 13 picks, it's a lot of picks, but they're not going to force anything where if they get to 27 and, you know, there are a couple of options. You mentioned guys dropping where they could have three, four guys available. They feel comfortable taking at 27 and then there's, you know, it's a no brainer and they can make their decision. But if there's no one there, you have guys like Xavier Watts, for example, who you could trade back to 34, 35, 36, maybe get a 2026 pick if you wanted to. If it's not working out, I know the fifth-year option is a very valuable thing. I know they've, you know, changed it over the last couple of years, but even still, that's kind of what the Ravens are thinking when they traded back up to 32 to take Lamar Jackson is, hey, we want that fifth-year option for the quarterback. But I know that trading up is kind of the big talking point right now, but I agree with you. I definitely wouldn't ruling out trading back either if it doesn't really fall the way the Ravens want it to.
Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Kevin, what's happening on the website 16 days from the draft?
Yeah, just leading up to it, talking about prospects, talking about possible outcomes for the Ravens, and obviously looking at what free agents maybe the Ravens could sign post-draft, because obviously that compensatory pick deadline is coming up, and that's when, you know, Eric DaCosta likes to work his magic even more.
Kevin, appreciate it as always. Talk to you next Tuesday.
You know, guys, thanks so much. Appreciate you having me.
Kevin Allstriker will come back. Draft profile number two, staying on wide receiver, going out west. Stick around for that. More of Steve Bisciotti coming up at 1 o'clock NFL lunch. American League East report at 1:15. A couple of games in the division. We'll talk about that. We'll look at today's schedule and an updated look at the standings. And Matt Wyrick, Baltimore Sun. He's in Arizona with the Orioles. What's going on with Zach Eflin?
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Fafita steps up in the pocket. He unloads. He's got a man wide open. T-Mac. And he just saunters into the end zone. And it's 6-0 Wildcats.
Draft Profile number two. Talking wide receiver today. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass. We were talking earlier about Luther Byrne III in Missouri. Now we're going out west, Vinny Serrato.
Yes, Bob, we're talking T-Mac. T. McMillan, however you want to say it's T-E-T-A-I-R-O-A.
Tetairoa. Tetairoa.
Tetairoa.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yes. McMillan. He is 6'4", 219. J- Jersey number 4, a junior, 31.5 arms, 10-inch hands. 5-star, California Player of the Year. 88 catches for 1302 and 18 touchdowns his senior year. Now, he was a big-time volleyball player, and he would have been a D1 volleyball player, but he could jump and block and do all those things. He actually was a real good basketball player, too. Gave up basketball to play more volleyball. In 2022, 39 catches for 702, 18.0 average, 8 touchdowns, played in 12 games with 8 starts. Now, he wanted to go. His dream school was University of Oregon. And that's when the Miami coach.
Cristobal.
He came down, offered him, you know, and then Cristobal was going to leave, and he kept calling him. He said, well, is anything going on? No, don't worry about anything. And then Cristobal went to Miami, and then with the coaching change and everything, he just said, screw it. And like all his buddies were going to Arizona, so he went to Arizona. Now in 2023, third-team All-American, 90 catches, 1402, 15.6 average, 10 touchdowns, started all 13 games. In this past season, first-team All-American, 84 catches for 1319, 15.7 average. Now, made a name for himself in the New Mexico game. He had 304 receiving yards in that game. 304. And he started all 12 games. Now, his strength, he's got excellent size, production. He's got basically 3 years of production. And his average per catch, 15.7, 15.6 the last 2 years. Excellent body control. He's got real good hands. Love his length. He's smart. He's aware in zone to find the holes. Has body control to be a good route runner. He'll go up and win contested catches. Good run after the catch. Has some make you miss. Good change of direction. Plays fast. Has acceleration with ball in the air. He'll go up at its highest point. Great adjust with ball in the air. Excellent concentration. Has the ability to bend knees and get in and out of cuts. He's got snatch hands. He can play in the slot or outside. Good route runner. Good in the red zone with his size. And the thing about it is, usually with a 6'4 guy, you know, he's kind of hard. It's hard for those bigger guys to bend their knees, get their pads over toes, get in and out of cuts and all that. But no, he doesn't have a problem with it. He's a good route runner. And the more you watch this kid, the more you appreciate him because, you know, I mean, nobody times anymore in the 40s, but plays fast. People don't catch him. Weaknesses, the explosiveness off the line of scrimmage. A lot of times he doesn't come off real hard or real fast, and he's going to have to come off fast in the NFL because timing routes and stuff, you're timing it up, and you got to explode off the line of scrimmage. And he doesn't have home run speed, and he does need to get stronger with his blocking and some of the other things. In summary, I said, this is a big wide receiver that is smooth, smart, aware. He's got run skill to go up and get the ball with excellent hands. Very good in the red zone. Very productive. I like his route running ability. He's going to have to get stronger. Now, if on the Ravens, give them something that they don't have. To me, he's a little like, but not as fast, Mike Evans without the great speed. That's kind of how, you know, the adjustments and Mike Evans is a good route runner and all that, but Mike Evans had like the 4.4 speed, and this kid doesn't have it, but he's a really good player, and he's really smart and got great instincts, and against zone stuff, he can find the holes in the zone, and against man-to-man, he can get open, and he's got super production over his whole college career and even throw in, you know, his senior year of high school. I think he's going to be a good pro because of the size and stuff. Just needs to get stronger. Like, all these guys are not great blockers. And he'll just need to get stronger to handle the press coverage and stuff. Because initially what people are going to do, come up and try to jam him at the line of scrimmage and knock him off the ball. He's got to be able to use his size and strength and length to get off of those people. But, you know, I mean, there's ways to combat that early on. You know, you put him in the slot, you can motion him, you can help him a little bit if need be till he gets comfortable with it.
Mel Kiper Jr., Baltimore's own ESPN.com, has T-Mac the number 4 receiver in this year's draft class of 2025. Mel's latest mock draft, which came out today, as a matter of fact, has him going number 20 overall to the Denver Broncos. Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic has him going 8 overall to Carolina.
Yeah, Bob, I most, like all the CBS mocks and everybody else, I mean, they have him as, you know, the highest receiver going off the board. A lot of it's in the teens is where they have him going. But I like him as a player. And like I said, for the Ravens, you know, they don't have a 6'4", 220-pound wide receiver. That'd be a good – I mean, it would be a luxury for them at – well, he wouldn't be there at 27. But if he was at 27, it would be a nice luxury. And I would guess that if that were the case – he may be the highest rated player on their board at that time.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. NFL lunch. Hear more from Steve Bisciotti and John Harbaugh. Met with Ravens.com last week. American League East report. Yankees about to get it on with the Tigers here. A couple of minutes, but what happened to them last night? Everything else in the division led by the Orioles 5-1 victory over the Arizona Diamondbacks. O'Hearn goes deep. Mountie with a big 2-run base hit. Add on some tackle and stuff. Bullpen unscored upon. Zach Eflin was great, but he had to leave shoulder fatigue. So Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun, joins us at 1:30. He is in Arizona with the team. What in the wild world of sports is going on out there?